Now may the words of our mouths, meditations of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Congregation, please be seated. As spoken, our new fall sermon series is titled Faith Words. And so over the course of the next, 7 weeks, I believe it is, we'll focus upon some classic words that we use in our culture, and yet words we need maybe to dig down a little bit deeper in. Grace, trust, faith, hope. Today, our word of the week is sin. There's two classic definitions of the word sin when it comes to our faith culture. One is simply to miss the mark. Imagine, picture yourself with a target in front of you, and you're an archer. And maybe the target is a regular target. Maybe it's one of those four-legged creatures out there as you're bow hunting this particular season. But there's a certain bullseye, right? There's a certain place where you want to put the arrow. And so you draw back, and when you release the arrow, well, there's times that it flies off target. Maybe it hits the target, but maybe not right in the center of the target. So to sin is to err by landing anywhere but right in the middle. You and I, on a daily basis, we miss the mark, do we not? Every time we wander off the path, maybe our eyes gaze upon something inappropriate. Maybe our tongue wavers to not be aligned with God's desires, and we get caught up in gossip. Maybe our heart gets off track with a self-centered type of attitude. We miss the mark in so many ways every single day when we are contrary to God's ways for us. We miss the mark of what God intends. Second classic faith definition is brokenness. Imagine a stick simply just crack, being broken in half. We break relationship with God. We break relationship with one another when we do what we want to do as opposed to doing what God would have us do. That creates that brokenness, division, splintered relationships with God, and as we all know, all too often, with each other as well. That current war with what's going on in the Middle East, right? Gaza, Israel, was a perfect example of brokenness in this world. Conflict between two parties that results in destruction, bloodshed, hate, chaos. And you know, it's a brokenness that it's not just on a worldwide, global kind of scale. It hits us right between the eyes. There's division among races. There's a discord in marriage. There's separation among friends, disunion even among church members, and there can be rifts among siblings. Missing the mark and brokenness are two ways that we talk about sin in our faith. And it results in us alienating ourselves horizontally with one another and vertically with God. Causes pain, can even cause death. And again, we're guilty of it every single day in so many ways. Our Bible story today is an unfortunate example of missing the mark and brokenness that results. You know, if you were to look in your Bible, we are only 4 chapters into the Bible, into God's Word, and blood is being spilled. If we were to back up just 1 chapter, chapter 3, we'd read about the first sin that involved Adam and Eve missing the mark and then resulting in brokenness. Brokenness with respect to what God intended for them. And it brings about that consequence of them being expelled from the Garden of Eden. And eventually death upon them and for all humanity. Our story today in chapter 4 picks up with Adam and Eve starting a family. They have 2 kids, Cain, Abel. Story says that Cain was a farmer, Abel was a rancher. And it reads like this: in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. Abel, for his part, brought the firstlings of the flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel. But for Cain, the Lord had no regard. Both men brought gifts to the Lord, And Abel's offering was, as said, the firstlings and the fat fruits, the fat portions, which meant that it was the first lambs, not the leftovers. It was the best lambs, not the stragglers. These gifts were very pleasing unto the Lord. And then evidently, the gift that Cain brought was neither the best nor was it the first. And it did not find the Lord's favor. Now, I got to tell you right off, this is not a financial stewardship sermon, okay? So don't get caught up thinking that this is where this is going. Boy, this would make a doozy, though, I tell you. This will be the subject for another sermon sometimes. But today we're focusing just upon that subject of sin, missing the mark and causing that brokenness. You see, what happened is that Cain missed the mark. He didn't meet what God expected in terms of the standard. He didn't measure up to what God's expectations were. And then what happened was Cain became very, very angry. God asked him, he said, "Why are you so angry?" And here it is. Here's where a lot of the meat for our message today is going to be. The Lord God said, "If you do well, you will be accepted. If you do not do well, sin is lurking at your door." Here God speaks a word of wisdom, a word of warning as well. Not just to Cain, but to all of us. If we do well, meaning if we do right, if we do what's godly, if we do what God intends for us and God expects of us, well, you will do what is pleasing unto the Lord. But if, on the other hand, if we do not do well, meaning if we disobey God, if we fly by our own rules, if we create our own path, well, then sin is knocking at our door. You see, sin and temptation, they love just to creep into our lives. They love to tap at the door, sometimes just very gently. They love to slip inside of our hearts and then make our home there, root themselves there. And it happens in the decisions that we make, healthy or not so healthy, habits and patterns that we live by, or our appropriate or inappropriate behaviors, or the responses we make, or how we treat other people. It's that whole business of whether we're humble with our spirit and attitude or we're self-centered. It has to do with the questionable things that we involve ourselves with. It has to do with compromising our faith. You see, sin knocks at the door, and its desire is to swallow us up. When I was 10 years old, I was visiting my cousin in Houston, and We got on bikes and we rode over to the local carnival. It was in town and it was just maybe a half a mile away or so. And so I wasn't used to life in Houston. I was a bit green behind the ears. Innocent when it came to big city life and especially carnivals, right? So I probably looked and smelled like fresh meat to the circus vendors. Well, as we walked through, I surveyed the different booths. And one fella shouted out, step right up, and win a gigantic stuffed animal. Well, my eyes were as big as saucers. The game that he was inviting me to play, maybe you've seen it before, it's the one with the bushel basket, and it's only about 3 or 4 foot away, and it's on a 45-degree angle. And all you have to do is take that big old softball and just toss it into it, and if it stays in there, you win a huge, gigantic stuffed animal of your choice. Well, I got to tell you, I was a little league pitcher, all right? I knew how to put the ball right where the ball needed to go. This was going to be easy peasy. So I tried, tossed, and I failed. $1 gone. I tried again, toss and fail. Another dollar gone. I was $5 into cutting. I was going to cut my losses right there. But then sin just kind of knocked at the door, tapped at my heart. And the carnival man said this, "Try again, sir. Try again, young man, and I'll give you not one, but two gigantic stuffed animals." Well, I wasn't going to be called down for that. So, you know, I know why it's called falling into sin, right? Because sometimes you just can't help yourself. But what happened is I rifled through my next $5. $5, and you add up the other $5, that was $10. That was 5 weeks of allowance back then. And I blew it in 5 minutes. But I just kept feeding the beast, giving him the money. You know, you factor in inflation, $10 back in 1968 is $88 today. Wow. Temptation knocked at the door, and it ate me alive. There's a saying that goes like this: sin usually comes in through a door that has been left open. White lies. White lies turn into gray, which can turn into black. A seemingly innocent glance in an office can turn to flirting and a possible affair. An invitation to make a fast buck, turns into participation in a shady deal. A slight compromise of our character leads us not just to doing it once, but it becomes a little easier and a little easier and a little easier every single time. God warns Cain. He says, you must gain control of it. But the problem is sometimes we can master it, and sometimes it masters us. You know, there are those times when I think we can put on the brakes. By the power of the Holy Spirit, help me, God. Put on the brakes, and instead of diving into trouble, into problems, maybe I'm able to tie my tongue before the gossip flies out of my mouth. Or maybe I'm able to resist rationalizing, keeping a secret from a boss or from a spouse. Maybe I'm able to plug my pie hole before I utter out something that I think is cute, but it is sarcastic to another person. Or maybe I decide in advance that I'm not going to text and drive or drink and drive or go too far in a relationship. Whatever that place may be, it's always difficult to put the toothpaste back into the tube. Sometimes we might be able to stop. We might be able to master sin before it starts. And other times it masters us. Here's a reality for each and every one of us, that we are only right with God. We are only right with God, only pleasing to Him if we can master all of our temptations all of the time. And the human condition is such that we can't do that. Every day, little and large. You see, by human standards, we think we might be pretty good people, especially if we compare ourselves to other people in this world. But by godly standards, we are all guilty, stuck in sin, and get this, deserving of eternity in hell. I asked a woman the other day, it was an innocent question. I didn't mean to get into anything deep, right? I mean, we ask people all the time, hey, how you doing today? How you doing? And she didn't give me that knee-jerk response, good, or I'm doing fine. She didn't even give me old Dave Ramsey response, right? I'm better than I deserve. Instead, she said, I am in bondage to sin and cannot free myself. I think she was being a little bit humorous, but also quite serious. Kind of just like his mouse. Oh my goodness, the ones that get caught in the glue traps, they are still alive. But they're stuck in there forever, and when you walk up on them, they go like this. They don't know what to do, but there's absolutely nothing they can do. They are in bondage, and they cannot free themselves. We say that every single Sunday when we gather first thing, because it exemplifies our need. It confesses our need for our Savior. Brothers and sisters, because of our sin, we're in a heap of trouble. Houston, we have a problem. And it's because sin is a part of who we are. It's the actual condition of who we are. It's not just the acts, but our condition. Of course, we have our acts. We call those sins of commission, things that we commit. We do things that we shouldn't do. But there's also those sins of omission, things that we should do that we fail to do, which always are sins as well. Cain becomes very angry and so incensed, he's burning with this jealousy that he commits the world's first homicide. And then God asked him, where's your brother Abel? And he plays dumb, right? He's a smart aleck answer almost. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Reminds us that the Bible says that we may be able to hide certain sins from each other, but not from God. There was a high school student, a member of our church family, this was some years ago, who after a Friday night football game asked his parents if he could go spend the night at a friend's house. The parents said, fine, y'all go, y'all have fun, but if you do anything other than going to your friend's house, be sure to let us know. Be sure to let us know where you're going, what you're doing, just so that we know. Boy said, fine, he agreed. So the boys ended up talking to some girls out in the parking lot. They ended up going to the movie. You know, it's innocent in and of itself, but he failed to let his parents know. Well, about halfway through the movie, he felt the phone in his pocket, well, doing the vibrating thing, and he reached down and looked, and it was his mom texting him, asking, what are you doing at the movie? To which the boy texted back, how did you know where I was? The mother answered, because I have eyes everywhere. We don't pull anything over on God, for he sees all, he is all, he knows all, and there's absolutely nothing that goes unnoticed. You see, the God who sees and knows all pulls the cover back on Cain. He says, your brother's blood is crying from the ground, you've killed him. And God goes on to give him a severe punishment. He banishes him from the land. He says that the ground that he's been tilling as his livelihood all these years will never produce for him again. And it's a gloom and doom kind of picture. But almost in a confessional way, Cain pleads, saying, I'm a dead man. I'm a fugitive. I'm a wanderer. And anyone who sees me will kill me. It is gloom and doom. Gloom and doom for the missing of the mark and for the brokenness that he has brought into this world and upon others. And yet, hear the story. Hear the story. It contains undeserved grace. Because even in the midst of human sin, even in the midst of human missing the mark and brokenness, the story concludes by saying this, and God put a mark on Cain so that anyone who came upon him would not kill him. God covered Cain. He covered him with some sort of invisible sign, some sort of invisible mark. I don't know what it was. I wish we did, but we don't know. But it was obvious that people were to keep their hands off of him. God protected Cain, even though he was totally guilty of sin. It's Jesus' blood, is it not? Jesus' blood that is the mark that we rely upon. Cast upon our hearts, cast upon our lives as we confess our sin to him as our Savior, as we earnestly come before him and ask him for help and for strength to continue to do better, to accept that grace, and by the power of the Holy Spirit to seek to hit the mark and not create brokenness in this world. You see, Jesus, it's Jesus who blocks off the consequences of our sin that otherwise would cast our souls into hell forever. And I think most of us are familiar with an example of this. Just yesterday, how many of you gazed upon the eclipse? Raise your hand. You better have been wearing sunglasses, right? Or maybe using one of those little things that we made in grade school where we could see what the sun was doing. I see some heads nodding over here with some mamas who's a teacher, yeah, over here. And so that's just the first, right? That's the first of the eclipse that we're going to have here in our community. This was the little one. Wasn't a whole lot of people in town, maybe a little bit like last week, Oktoberfest. But the big one, right? The big one that's coming in April, in spring. It's going to be a total eclipse. And they're talking about something like it lasting 4.5 minutes of total darkness, total shadow. There's supposed to be something like 100,000 people in our county. OMG. But remember this, an eclipse. An eclipse is when the earth and the moon and the sun align in that order. So that from planet Earth, we see the moon in front of the sun blocking it out. But I want you to think about a reverse order on that. I want you to think about the earth is God. The earth is God. The moon is Jesus. And the sun is we as sinners. And therefore, God the Father, the earth, looks upon us, the sinners, looks upon the sun. But instead of seeing the sun, Instead, he sees the moon. He sees Jesus, who covers us from our sin. The Father sees the Son, who died upon the cross so that we might be forgiven, and was raised to the right hand of the Father so that we might have new life now and eternal life to come. Today we have Holy Communion. Holy Communion, if you've got your little packet, I want you to look at it. Look at the bread. Look at the bread. See, because our sin is covered with the body and the blood. And look at that wafer. Look at that wafer right now. To me, it looks like a full moon. Yeah, it does. And that wafer eclipses our sin by what Christ has accomplished for us on the cross and in the resurrection, covering our missing the mark and our brokenness. As we take Holy Communion to this day, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for our errants, for missing the mark, for our brokenness, may we also receive the full forgiveness in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.